This is Jewish Board Talk with Cherise Zifford, only on 101.9 High FM.
Alet Cohen is the founder and director of Ripples for Change. It is an NGO based in East London that aims to strengthen rural communities in South Africa. It believes in upskilling community members and leaders to ensure impactful, long-lasting social and economic change. Galit was my guest last during COVID when she was doing incredible work in the Eastern Cape. We also always look forward to partnering with Galit with incredible work she does. So Galit, welcome and thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Galit, I think the last time I saw you, it was with bottles of honey.
Yes, you did.
Do you want to tell me a little bit about what you've been doing with Ripples for Change?
Yeah, so as you said, we are based in East London and we work in the rural communities. So we have a few programs supporting rural communities. One of the programs that we run is an early childhood development mentorship program. So in the past, we've been supporting 212 ECD centers. We helped with donations of toys and books and furniture and food and training. But in 2022, we started the mentorship program where we have a local mentor who goes every day to another center and they make sure that there's real education in the centers and not just babysitting. The whole early childhood development started in South Africa relatively late in 2015. So there's a lot of babysitting more than education in the centers, and we're trying to shift that. So now, after we saw that this is a huge success and really making an impact, we are lucky that we're able to expand it this year to 6 new communities. And we are supporting 118 centers on a daily basis and supporting 4,500 children. And, you know, this way we make sure that there's quality education and they're up to standards and they actually people know what they're doing. And this is a lasting impact. They're not going to suddenly forget what to do. So this is one program. It's been amazing to see it grow. And then we have a really interesting pilot project of art in primary schools. We are supporting at the moment 11 schools in grade R and 1. So, you know, usually art is the first thing that goes out the window when there are budget cuts and the Department of Education doesn't really know how to implement it in rural areas. So we believe that this is not, art is not luxury. We believe that it's crucial for brain development. So we have an art teacher who records short videos with weekly art ideas. And every week on Sunday, we send it to them, to the teachers, so they will implement it during the week. We obviously give them all the art supply that they need every term. Actually, from here, I'm going to shop for term 2. So this is... This is amazing. And the reception we received, it's absolutely phenomenal. The teachers actually see a difference in the children. They see the concentration level, the gross and motor skills improvement, and just the attitude towards learning is improving. And the one of the parents told us that her daughter, all she wants to do when she comes back home is to draw. So she had to buy her a notebook so she can draw at home. And the kids... the feedback that we got is that all they want to do is art. I'm not sure if it's a good feedback or bad feedback, but that's what we received from the kids. So really exciting to see how all this develops. In terms of supporting youth, last year we employed 100 young people. This year we're employing 105. We employ them as tutors, coaches, mental health supports at schools. We have ECD assistants and teachers assistants in rural communities, and this project is going to grow. We were just approved for more support for this year and next year, so this is going to be great. We are also lucky to receive 5 STEM centers. STEM is science, technology, engineering, and math. And we donated it to universities and TVET colleges in the country. The centers are being operated by NEMISA, which is the National Electronic Media Institute of South Africa, and by the universities themselves. Each center has 2 labs. One lab has 30 computers and a 3D printer, and the other electronic lab is more for engineers. So it's everything they need to do to make it they're studying practical. So they have like drones and robotic kits and a whole lot of equipment. It's a great celebration in the universities when they receive this donation. And it's fun because we are the ones who make the phone call to the universities to say, do you want a donation? Instead of the universities asking for donations. So it's really a fun phone call. And we actually have a launch of the one in CUT, the Central University of Technology in Bloom, on the 22nd of April, together with the Minister of Communication. So really exciting.
We're going to stop you there just before you go into more projects. What you're doing is phenomenal. It's absolutely incredible. But I wonder if you wouldn't mind just painting a picture of when we talk about rural Eastern Cape, just kind of describe the conditions in which you work.
I think the biggest thing about the rural communities in Eastern Cape is that it's the distances from village to village, from village to community to the city, the roads, the condition of the roads, that is the biggest challenge for us. People live in, in randovels, they live in homesteads, they are employed or not employed. They have a vegetable garden or don't have a vegetable garden. There are schools in every area. Good schools, bad schools, resourced, low resource, but there is education. There is a need for everything needs more. But I think that the biggest thing for me, so these are the conditions, but the biggest thing for me is that you have millions of people living in the rural areas. And for me, if I look at the economy of South Africa, if we want to grow the economy of South Africa, we cannot rely only on the urban areas. We have to invest in the rural areas. We have to invest in those kids. We have to invest in STEM in the rural areas. We have to invest in the little kids so they will become active citizens in the future. We have to invest here. Otherwise, our economy is going to just reach so much, so high, but not as high as we can bring it. So, and the people I work with are incredible, are incredible. I love the people. I love the energy. I love, people are saying, I hear a lot of negativity around rural areas, but and people are entitled and whatever. But yesterday, for example, I went to drop off one of our trainers in the rural areas, and I gave a ride back to somebody. And I come with my car. I live in a house in the suburbs, and this woman wanted to give me money for the ride, and I was like, where's the entitlement now? She could have just, it was such a nice gesture from her part. Obviously, I rejected it, but it was such a nice gesture. So people are active. People are looking to grow. Obviously, not everybody, but the people I work with are phenomenal. Please come and visit the rural area. Please come and visit us. Please see, I'll change your mind.
I certainly, my mind, you don't need to change because the Eastern Cape is one of the most beautiful areas, but
Yes.
I agree, it is very, very undeveloped. I mean, I remember going there and, going to where I needed to go required like a bus, train, lots of different modes of transport to get to some rural place where, honestly, there was nothing, nothing, no electricity, no running water, nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Galit, I also want to talk a little bit about, you said it was, how nice it was for you to find the universities. The relationship that you have with the structures in the Eastern Cape, from the universities to the chiefs.
Yeah, and government. Again, people really want to invest. I mean, you have the provincial government here wishes to invest more. It's incredible to work with the Department of Social Development, Department of Education. We work with Department of Rural Development, with DDIT. A lot of government departments that we work with for our different programs, and it's really heartwarming to see. And obviously the chiefs that I work with in Controlesa, the Congress of Traditional Leaders. Phenomenal relationship. It's not without challenges. There are challenges, a lot of learning curves. When I met the king, I had somebody, one of the chiefs, whispering to me like, "Stand up, sit down. Now it's time to sit up." That it's like you have a lot of protocols that I'm not aware of, so I need to learn about. But it's really amazing to be a part of this.
I can't imagine the experiences that you have had. I interrupted you in terms of talking about the projects. Were there further projects that you want to do? Tell us about.
Two more. One is the beekeeping project, which is our biggest project, and we have, this is a national project in six provinces, and we have seven mentors. Each mentor supports between 15 to 40 women from rural communities, and we support the training, mentorship, 10 hives each, the beekeeping suit, you know, the white one with a big veil, the equipment and the access to market. And at the moment we have 162 women, and this project is just growing. We are working with the JDC. Very lucky to work with the JDC, an amazing support system, not just a donor, this is a partner, and it's amazing to work with them. And also, we have a donor through Mensch, that supports our food for children homes. So we support every month we give food for children homes in the area. And we they also support Mensch. I was a Mensch leadership program in Lift, and it was amazing. So there's a lot of programs that we work also in the Jewish community. And as I said, like the STEM centers is like STEM Power and EMISA and the Oppenheimer Memorial Trust. So we work with amazing people. And you know, just if people want to learn more about us, we have a website, or they can just call me. I'm here. And if you have any ideas about our program, something spoke to your heart, please let us know. If you want to talk about something again, I'm here. And just if you don't mind, I just want to ask something. We have a few beneficiaries that need smaller amounts of money, like one of our shelters, baby shelters, needs like 5,000 rands a month additional for nappies, more than what they receive. And one of our children home needs additional 5,000 rands a month for medication and medical expenses. And one of our partners, which is Autism SA, they run a school and they need scholarships for children who come from low resources families. These things, I know that I don't know if it's something speaks to you, but these are needs in the area, and it's going to make a huge difference here.
Galit, I'm going to repeat your details because it is, as you said, certain things touch certain people, and it's just a little bit that people can contribute to, and I imagine as often and when they want. Hopefully, they will be in touch with you. The work that you do is incredible. I'm pleased that you mentioned the bee project because that would, of course, ex explain the reference to the honey. I have tasted that honey, and I know it is also available for those who attend Limud. It's
And
on
it's
sale,
kosher.
and it's kosher. And Limud is always before Rosh Hashanah. I know it's Pesach now, but that's always something to think about. So, if anybody would like to contribute to any of these projects, however much and whenever, please be in touch with Galette. I can give your cell phone number if anybody contacts me. I'll give it away, give it out. And also, Galette, they can contact you through your website.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Social media.
And social media. Okay, so I have all those details. Anybody's welcome to get hold of me. And the organization is Ripples for Change. And the person I'm speaking to is its founder and director, Khaled Cohen. Khaled, I hope you enjoy the honey over Pesach. Is it Pesach? All honey's Pesach, isn't
Thank you so much. Thank you.
it? Thank you very much. That is Khaled Cohen, Ripples for Change. Chag Sameach.
Excellent.